Hey, it's 420 somewhere. Welcome to Sex and Sativa with Alex. It's me, your favorite sex positive goddess. And I distinctly remember the first time I was choked during sex. I remember I was having sex with a not so steady casual sexual partner. It was sort of like an on and off situation, but I knew that he was very invested in getting me off, which is really most times what I want from a partner. I remember this particular day, this particular time, I remember he was fucking me from behind. One hand on my hip to control his thrust. His other hand was at my back, just lightly touching my spine and shoulders. I loved it. I really love being touched. Then he leaned in towards my ear and asked if I wanted to try something new. I remember looking back at this sweaty man thrusting inside of me, yet still excited at the thought of trying something new with me. So I agreed. He pulled out and had me on my back, lifted my hips, and then he entered me very slowly, a completely different pace from how he was fucking me from behind. He started kissing me on the lips so thoroughly, while his right hand gently lay at the base of my throat. Then he started rubbing my throat up and down in line with how he was moving inside of me. I got so much wetter. It was just hot as fuck. Then he sort of inhaled my breath and applied pressure to my throat. I just remember how initially I felt fear, but then almost immediately I started to relax. I started liking it. He held my hip up with one hand and started thrusting harder. I remember I sort of braced my legs on the bed to meet his thrust because it was just so fucking good. And that was when he applied way more pressure on my throat than the initial pressure he had begun to apply. I came so fucking hard and quiet. I don't think you understand. I can get incredibly vocal and loud while fucking during an orgasm. It's kind of like my MO. So for me to have an orgasm that intense, yet so quiet, an orgasm that had me unable to make a single sound. Man. My partner in crime taught me to choke him later on as well. So it wasn't just a Alexandria found choking religion sort of scenario. No, my partner then taught me to choke him, which it can be quite easy to mess up choking. So I understand if you've been improperly choked and don't want to try it again. Nobody wants to mess with your life. So my partner at the time taught me how to choke him, and I went on to discover the wonderful world of breath play and erotic asphyxiation. Have you gotten it yet? This episode is going to be kinky. I do hope you enjoy. Oh, this was too high. I shouldn't have lit that well. The thing just sort of scared me for a whole minute now. Content, awareness, and trust plays a huge role in the enjoyment and inclusion of kink in one's sexual experiences. On this podcast, I've talked about kinky stuff. I've addressed a few niche fetishes on previous episodes, but I've never really as a whole demystified kinks and fetishes on Sex and Sativa with Alex. Now seems a good time as any. My birthday was a comedy of errors, a wonderful comedy of errors. Now that it's behind me, I can refer to everything that happened as a comedy of errors, which now I'm referring to the term comedy of errors. I should read Shakespeare. I haven't visited that in a very, very long time, and I should rectify it. I love Titus Andronicus. It's so delightfully sad. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I definitely keep on going back for more. It's just that thing of like revenge that sort of goes through that anyway. I don't know exactly why I enjoy Titus Andronicus, but I should go back and read it. Anyway, I did record an episode on my birthday. I can't even call it an episode, but I was very vulnerable on that recording. I shared way more than I normally would. I spoke about a lot of personal stuff, some of it relating to my sex life, most of it relating to just life in general. And by the time I was done and I listened back to it, I realized how incredibly vulnerable that episode was. So I decided to just ignore it, put my head in the sand and forget I even did that. But I will upload the episode sometime soon, probably as a bonus episode. It has nothing to do with this particular season of Sex and Sativa with Alex, so I'm just going to keep it as a bonus episode. Whenever you see it, listen if you are interested. If not, just let it go and we'll move on with more podcast sex positive oriented stuff on here. So, but I will say thank you so much for running up the numbers on neutral masturbation, my previous episode, because it was really, really rewarding to be able to edit and upload that episode on my actual birthday, despite all of the hullabaloo that was happening around me. And to see the numbers just steadily increase on that day was so rewarding to me. Thank you so much for listening and sharing the amazing sex positive podcast Sativa with Alex. Thank you. Now let's crack a whip on the kinky stuff. When you hear the term kink, what are the first five things that pop into your mind? I mean, truly, does the word kink excite, intrigue, scare, or does it just amuse you? think of this episode as a little intro, a glimpse behind the curtain, if you will. Nothing too much, we're just going to explore the rudimentary basics of kink, maybe expand our mindset, horizon, or just take you back to simpler times. I don't know where you are in your sex life and you are listening to this podcast right now, but you are welcome. First of all, let's realize and understand that there are no true specific definitions of kink. Kink in sex refers to what most individuals consider to be unconventional sexual action or activity. Sexual activities that tend to fall outside the norm of what is or has been accepted as the quote-unquote normal type of sex, but as society expands, grows and evolves, what is acceptable and normal also changes as well. At some point, latex condoms did not exist. The usage of latex condoms during sex was unheard of. Now, in this present day and age, condoms are a must. Condoms are a necessity for a safe sexual experience. So back then, bringing out a condom to use was seen like, ooh, you like a little rubber play, little nylon fetish. That's a completely different thing, but yeah. And now it's just the norm. Oral sex, anal sex are considered normal things that, or normal parts of sex. But at some point, doing any of these things could be referred to as kinky stuff because it was unconventional and not the norm. In this present day and age, there are other types of kink in sex. Stuff like bondage play, cuckolding, voyeurism, sadomasochism, role playing, etc., etc., etc. Whereas fetishes vary from kink. They're not exactly the same thing, although I understand if people use them interchangeably. Fetishes and kinks are always lumped together or used interchangeably, but it is important to properly take note of which is which and in what context whichever can be used. So you don't want to say stuff that's, oh, that's just kinky stuff, and it's actually a fetish. And you don't want to label what is just, I won't say just, because I'm saying just a lot. I got my straw and hot tea that has not gone well for my throat. So I'm back to drinking hot water though, and ginger slices. The weather is changing. I have no idea why it's still raining in November, raining heavily, I might add. But here we are, the society. Climate change is real, motherfuckers. I remember when I was in secondary school and I used to say stuff like, oh, climate change is real, as like a joke and to be sort of contrarian. But I didn't think I'd end up being that person that is like, oh my god, wow, climate change is really real. At some point, I did think things were going to switch up. Wow, I was very wrong. This is a new gas lighter. I don't know how it's going to sound. I've really been hating the sound of my lighters in previous episodes. It seems to irk me. So I'm trying to see how this gas lighter works for... how this gas lighter... Do I crack myself up, but does the cannabis just make me way funnier? I don't know. More on Sex and Sissy Bob with Alex. who was I talking about? In broad general terms, fetish is a sexual fixation on a specific object or act that is absolutely necessary for a person's sexual gratification. Sometimes it's something that is not even sexual in nature. Fetishes are heavily tied to having a psychological need for those specific objects or acts in order to actually experience an ounce or a little bit of sexual pleasure or to reach an orgasm. For example, let's say I have a money fetish, the smell of cold, clean, hard cash makes me wet. The act of giving me cold, clean, hard cash while fucking me causes me to orgasm so loudly and wonderfully. That's a fetish. Yeah. If you absolutely cannot come, or you cannot get off without that action or object, it's a fetish. All fetishes are kinks, but not all kinks are fetishes. That is another way of saying fetishes are a type of kink. They fall under the umbrella of kink. Kink is vast and almost all-encompassing. But fetishes just rides under that umbrella, happily staying and expanding its wings. So, if you have fetishes or you are into fetish stuff, you are kinky, my friend. But if you engage in kink, there is no guarantee that the kink you are engaging in has to be a fetish. Just because I introduce spanking and choking into my sex life doesn't mean I necessarily need to be spanked or choked, or spanked and choked to orgasm. Like, it would help, it would make a great orgasm, it would help me orgasm more intensely, but I'm good without it. So they, fetishes and kink, go hand in hand, help each other bloom and expand your sexual horizons. But just know exactly what you're into and find out exactly what team you play for. So are you just into some kinky stuff, or do you have some hardcore fetishes? You know, stuff like that. Also, sweet, sweet person, right now listening to this, feeling a tad, or about to feel a tad defensive because none of what I'm talking about or none of whatever I'm explaining so far works for you, interests you, or appeals to you sexually, that's absolutely fine. You aren't being some boring like individual like some people might say. It also doesn't mean that you are boring or bad at sex. Vanilla is not a bad thing. Vanilla is a spice, by the way. A very alluring, sexy spice. And if you don't think vanilla is good, honestly, you've had the artificial extract stuff, which is not bad. But the real deal is way impressive. It's just way impressive. Now, being a vanilla individual is fine. It produces really awesome treats. Some nice bakes. It's alright. It's fine. You enjoy it. But sometimes someone else just likes to shake things up a little and throw in cinnamon and allspice. Okay, just throw it into the mix. You razzle dazzle extra individual. I see you. with your kinks and your fetishes, just making it a little bit more like spicier. I don't know what sound that was, I apologize. Which is also fine. Sometimes a little unconventional shit doesn't ruin the truth. It makes it better, more unique to your taste buds. Then we have all of them ginger and pepper people, which don't knock it till you try it in a bake. Try it once, realize it's not for you, or surprise yourself and realize that you, my friend, have a very unique but acquired palate. Why all these baking analogies, Goddess Alexandria? Well, 2023, your girl got into baking, and it has been so much fun for me and my body. Shout out to yoga for keeping all the treats in control and all the sweets in control. And for the record, I am a vanilla, cinnamon, pepper, baking fairy. I like it all. Same thing applies to sex. I appreciate whatever and however it makes me feel, provided the end game is I will feel good. That's very important to me. So I like it all. Next time someone tells you, oh, so you're vanilla, like a very condescending tone, just tell them, yeah, I'm spicy, are you? Vanilla is a spice, so yay. Ideally, vanilla, when I go to get like ice cream and stuff, vanilla is always the flavor I get to bind other flavor, like other like really really crazy out there flavors together. I'm that sort of person that just, I want to try everything unconventional. Put it all up in my plate. Let me try how they all taste. And let me also see how they all melt together and just make this wonderful gooey sugary mess. I like sweet things. Do I approach the types and kinds of kinks and fetishes? Or do I immediately focus on the benefits of those bad boys? Thanks. Doing research for this episode, and there is so much misinformation out there on the inclusion of kink in your sex life. Wanting to be kinky doesn't mean that you've been sexually traumatized or you need kink to unlearn sexual trauma. It does not mean that you have been sexually abused and are using this to take your power. It does not make you a sexual deviant because you choose to engage in kink. Choosing not to engage in kink doesn't make you gooder. Is gooder a word? Fuck, I don't think so. Choosing not to engage in kink doesn't make you cleaner or godlier at sex. If you do engage in kink, if you don't engage in kink, I truly fail to see the correlation between wanting to watch another person fuck your partner while you are being pegged. I don't see how that makes you qualified to share the same jail cell as Hitler. Because when you're talking to some people about like sex stuff and you just get to know where their mindset is, they get really really dramatic about sex. I don't think dramatic is the word. It's just, It's how and what you choose to orgasm with. As long as it's consensual, honestly, it's just sex. So just because you engage in sex in one way doesn't mean that other people that engage in sex in a different way are perverted individuals. It also doesn't mean that you are a stick in the mud or you're boring because you choose not to engage in kinky sex. I like learning stuff about sex. It's fascinating to me. I have been having the best time of my life in the past 3 years, just getting to do this podcast and do research and come on here and share it with you and learn in my spare time and study and just, it's fascinating and very humbling, I have to admit. I wore new panties today. And I've been all about, like, I wore really gorgeous new panties today. I've been all about, like, rewarding myself with little treats all month long to make up for my birthday quote unquote fiasco. But shout out to those that came through for me on that day. I love you. Thank you so much. I mean, I will also spoil myself all month long because it's my birthday month. I'm that sort of person. I do birthday months, I do birthday weeks, and you know. Birthday itself. So I've been spoiling myself. I wore new panties today. Back to the panties. I have been saving these panties for a very long time now. Almost like a year-ish. These panties. High-waisted. Cherry red. Seamless. Thong. I loved the material that the panties are made of. Like, they are just so gorgeous. And they fit me. Like, they do something wonderful to my ass. It just works. Here I am, feeling myself. Blonde hair, tits out, gorgeous, flawless skin, wearing nothing but this beautiful, sexy panties that are making me feel like the sexual goddess that I am. So, it's been a very long day. I'm trying to realize or psych myself into putting this podcast together. So, I set my yoga mat and I'm practicing my splits, you know, just to get better so that when I do my actual yoga flows, I can get more. Anyway, I'm practicing my splits. And, well, I am bearing down and leaning in, my legs are on two different ends of the mat. The panties snap in half. Do you know how annoying it is? Can you fucking imagine waiting almost a year to wear like these yummy fucking gorgeous panties and they just snap in half while you're wearing them for the first time? I mean, I did feel pretty pissed off, but at the same time, I don't know, I felt kind of like powerful. Like, I don't know how people feel. I mean, I have had panties snapped off of me before, but I mean, he replaced it. So he knew what he was doing going in. But, like, is that how people feel when they snap the panties off of the bodies of their partner? Or naughty and powerful at the same time? Because I was feeling pissed off. I was like, just so weird. Is it though? I don't know. Let me know. Is this like a sign from the universe to get laid? I don't know. I'm open to the idea, but it needs to be worth it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Maybe you are sort of wondering what are the benefits of introducing a little kink into your vanilla sex life. That's fine. Alexandria is present to guide you through this wonderful spice journey. If you need help properly articulating words to your partner, send them this podcast episode. Let me be the fun yet informative icebreaker that your amazing sex life needs. By the end of the episode, they'll definitely get the hint about what you want to try and how open they should be to the idea. So, here are some fun benefits of engaging in kinky sex. It explores more communication or better communication skills with you and your partner. If you are engaging in kinky sex with your partner, it means that both of you have discussed this. It means that both of you have spoken about this. The thing with working in kink is because it's like I explained in previous episode. Yes, there's like a general way one can do things, but as a human being, we tend to custom each scenario to fit our specific needs and requirements. So, going into kink, there is a lot. What do you like? You like choking. For example, now, let me refer back to my partner that I spoke about earlier in the first episode. He choked me out. He got me into choking so that I could choke him. It was like a 50-50 thing. It was just awesome, pure luck, or just Alex, working Alex, that I fell in love into the world, like I fell in love into the world of kink. But I just think that when we're done, like after that first experience, and then we're talking about sex stuff, and he was like, oh, I was like, okay, do you enjoy choking? Is that something you do? He was like, oh yeah, but he also doesn't mind being choked. And it was how he just casually broached it, like, you know, if you want to do it, don't do it. And then I did it, and I realized, okay, he's really, really, really into choking, way more than I am. I can make him orgasm like really, really quick. So, you know, by the time we talked about it, I realized, okay, this is what you are into. Alright, but makes sense, you know. Better communication skills for you and your partner. It deepens the trust. Engaging in kink because it's unconventional. When you find someone you can share that with, you tend to trust the person. You tend to find this community. You know, I think finding a community is actually another benefit of engaging in kink, because it seems unconventional, because it's not like the norm. You are sort of excited when you find a group or like-minded group of people that engage in the same sort of play that you're engaging in their own way. It can be kind of affirming when you actually do find a community of like-minded individuals. Yes, I mean, among your friends, none of them are going to know that you enjoy wearing panties over your balls. No. But when you do find another group of people that, you know, look like you, that enjoy wearing panties over their balls and derive sexual gratification from it, it can be affirming, it can be relaxing. So it also reduces stress level, because you are engaging in something that you don't need to overthink or double guess anymore. You are now engaging in the full expression of your sexual experience, so it reduces the stress level. Best part about engaging in sex when you know you're going to get off, you feel good afterwards. So it increases your confidence. Exploring and accepting one's sexual desires and tends to boost your confidence level. Okay, this is what I'm into. Ain't no doubts in it. My partner's accepted it, I've accepted it. There's just when you are so sure that you are the baddest and the hottest thing to exist, and the way you please and pleasure yourself is so fucking worth it, there's a certain way you hold your head up high. Just like, it increases confidence levels. So those are the benefits of engaging in kink with your partner. So what's your poison? I already told you at the beginning of the episode that I enjoy choking and being choked. Actually, I find choking very relaxing. I miss having a partner that could, that trusts me that much to do that with them. And everybody, like, people react differently to choking during sex. So I just find it kind of fascinating. There are different types of kink. The world of kink is very, very, very accommodating and can be custom to fit your very known or undiscovered needs. To be aware though, before you or your partner engage in kink, I want you to be aware of what RACK is, R-A-C-K, Risk Aware, Accepted, Consensual Kink. This is the philosophy of you that you can engage in kink as long as you are aware of the risk that certain actions can lead to. It's accepted and completely consensual for all parties involved. To reiterate, to engage in kink, one or all parties must be made aware of the risk relating to certain or a specific activity. It must be consensual between all parties. You are aware of said risks and have agreed to engage in said activity with a sound mind, I might insist. So consent there. This philosophy behind RACK pays more attention to the unexpected consequences of kink play. It acknowledges that nothing is 100% safe. It also realizes what might be safe to one person might not be considered to be safe to another person. So, let's say you enjoy spanking, I enjoy choking. One of the unexpected effect of spanking or impact play, using stuff to hit yourself, is that you will have max. So when you are engaging in spanking, I think I forgot to add aftercare as a part of kink. Yeah, I did. Alex, come back to yourself. So I enjoy being choked, I enjoy spanking. One of the effects of being spanked or being hit during sex is that you might have marks depending on where you hit, so you tend to be mindful to hit where the normal individual will just not ask questions that you don't want to answer. You be mindful of how to hit. It's why there are different sides of the body you can hit to produce different reactions. So you start learning stuff with your partner, you start experimenting and going further. So one of the unexpected side effects of hitting and spanking during sex are marks, welts. Be aware of that. One of the unexpected effects of choking someone during sex is they can pass out, and then you're left wondering if you've killed somebody. If today is the day that your name is in the newspaper for having a very, very attractive man pass out while he's having an orgasm inside of you. Just briefly pass out, like a kind of thing, not like a full on, oh my god, are you dead type of thing, but you know, for that split second, lots of things are running through your mind. So be made aware of the expected effects behind kink play. Now, just because my partner choked me up and I enjoyed it doesn't mean he's going to choke out his other sexual partner. She's going to enjoy it. She might freak out and be like, do not touch me again, or do not even bring it up if he talks to her about it. So, you know, it's fine for me, might not be fine for you, and that is completely fine. But what the fuck was that? Okay, I'm recording a little bit earlier than my usual time, so that's very expected. So RACK, risk aware, accepted, consensual kink. So once you are made of it and made aware of this, you understand the parameters of RACK, please, by all means, go right ahead and engage in kink. Alright, now for types of kink. I don't know how long this episode has been so far, but I still have quite a lot to cover. Not a lot, but I still have quite a lot to cover. So when it comes to types of kink, there are many sexual acts that fall under the umbrella of what kink is. If you engage in, or you want to engage in, any of the actions I'm going to call out soon, then hi kinkster, welcome to this wonderful, affirming, sexually positive universe. I do hope you engage in your kink. I do hope you enjoy it. I do hope you flirt with the parameters of what you want and what you can get. So, role play. Do I need to explain role play as a kink? No, because I might do an episode soon on role play. So, that is a... I'm not going to talk about it that much. Pregnancy fetish. This was... I don't know why people keep on being surprised when they're like, oh, pregnancy fetish is not a surprise. Why? Why you don't think pregnant women are sexually attracted to some people to the point that they want to do anything to fuck up? So some people have a pregnancy fetish. Some people have a breeding kink. This could be a breeding kink could lead to a pregnancy fetish, but it's not exactly the same thing. In a breeding kink, you enjoy unprotected condomless sex and ejaculating into your partner. You enjoy the risk of maybe I might get pregnant, maybe I might not get pregnant. You enjoy having your partner's bodily fluids inside of you, ejaculation and whatnot. Most folks with a breeding kink do not want to get pregnant. This is more the risk, the intimacy, and the unprotected sex. In most times with a breeding kink, it's mostly like a dom sub scenario, but it doesn't always have to be that way. So breeding kink is different from just not fucking without a condom. That's completely different. It's not a breeding kink if you just enjoy fucking without the condom. No, breeding kink is completely different. Exhibitionism. You like to show off and show out. You like to be seen. You like to be watched. I see you. Voyeurism. Hi. You enjoy watching people. Just seeing people and their pleasure is for you. Okay. Hi, watcher. Temperature play. Ice or heat. With temperature play, you like to experiment with cool things on your skin or introducing cool elements into sex, like ice cubes, ice cream. But then if you introduce ice cream, you are doing, or you're playing with pseudophilia. And then heat, you have stuff like candle wax, or there's some oils that evoke heat. So let's play with heat because it turns you on. That's temperature play. Foot fetish. Do I need to explain people having a foot fetish? Well, breath play. That's also erotic asphyxiation. I practiced this thing like 5 times. I can't believe I'm not getting it. Objectification. This is an arousal by being dehumanized. You see yourself as an object to be used, as a sex doll to just be played with and fucked. That's objectification. Objectum kink, different from objectification, is a sexual relationship with or an attraction to inanimate objects. So, leather, trees. I don't know what, like, I don't know. Varies. I don't want to put anybody or anything in a box. BDSM. I have an episode on BDSM. I will not be explaining this further. I might not even be explaining any of these kinks further. I'm just labeling it, just helping put like a face to some of the things that we might already be engaging in, but we might not be aware is kinky stuff. BDSM. I already have an episode on BDSM. That's season 4, episode 2, BDSM is not abuse. I talk about BDSM at length there. So please, by all means, go back there and give it a listen. Praise King. Ooh, good boy. You're such a good girl. I love the way you take me so good. I love the way you touch me. Don't stop touching me, you're so good at it. Man, I love being praised. Okay. Ooh, spectrophilia. This is sexual attraction to ghosts. Yo, when I was coming across this, I put it down because I recently listened to a conversation with someone where they specified how they are attracted to ghosts or the idea of ghosts, and how they feel like there is a ghost in their place that they want to sort of perform for or perform with. And I found it very hilarious because I was just like, man, if this is a conversation I'm having in Nigeria, who will you open your mouth to that you're attracted to ghosts now? Like, tell me they've not started using like church to deliver you. Like, they've not tied you down and started binding and casting the said ghost that you're attracted to. Like, I always find it very interesting to see people's reactions or people's understanding of things. That conversation about the attraction to ghosts was not exactly the norm, but it was just like I was like, yay, fun for you, good for you. Yeah, but here in Nigeria, I'm just imagining the conversation being that you're attracted to ghosts. First of all, your partner will carry a bag and leave you. How are you sexually attracted to ghosts, stuff you don't see? So I always just find it interesting to see or hear people interested in sexual stuff and imagine how that would play out in the very sexually conservative country that I grew up in. So spectrophilia, sexual attraction to ghosts and other otherworldly spirits. Vomit fetish and emetophilia. This involves sexual attraction to the act, sight, or sound of someone else's vomit. But emetophilia is sort of different from gagging as a fetish. Although gagging as a fetish could lead to emetophilia, both of them could have specific different uses and needs. Tentacle stuff. I remember I was having a comment. I'm in such a weird headspace that sometimes when I'm talking to someone, I just assume they know what I'm talking about. And I was talking about porn recently with someone I haven't spoken to in a very long time. I was like, oh yeah, what kind of porn do you enjoy? In case I have some shit, I'll just send your way. And he was like, yo, you know, normal stuff. I was like, no, normal stuff is very, very, like, I'm into tentacle stuff. And he was like, what the fuck is... I was like, are you into tentacle porn? And he was like, what the fuck is tentacle porn? I was like, exactly what it sounds like, tentacle porn. So if you're into tentacle stuff, the idea of having multiple limbs inside of you, pleasuring you. I mean, it's so popular that there are tentacle-shaped dildos out there, you know, that are catering to people who have that particular different taste. It's not just tentacle dildos though, there's also like monster dildos, like in the shape of some weird imaginative monsters. They do not take the normal shape of like a man's genital organs. No, they look very, very different. It brings them sexual pleasure and they are fine with it. There's also tentacle shaped porn. Then there's those that enjoy when tentacle porn leads up to like laying eggs. It is fascinating what turns people on and what they're interested in. Splashing. this is sexual attraction or response to being surrounded or immersed in wet substances. Sometimes it's food related substances, sometimes it's not. But I explained splashing on my episode on food and sex cetophilia, that's season 2, episode 1. So see what I said about, I've covered like niche kinks, but I've never really truly covered it all. Yeah, robot fetish. Some people are sexually attracted to the idea of being a fucking robot. Back to that same thing about like the objectum kink. So, inanimate objects. But there's a whole genre of porn to like robot porn and stuff like that. Queriophilia. Attraction to hands, fingers. Like, that's your vibe. Just hands and fingers doing things, existing, being pretty and sexy. Sometimes it's the hands, sometimes it's just the fingers. Then it's like how people are like, oh, they want you to have a specific manicure in a specific way. And they just want to like touch your, have you touch them, just your hands. So that's it for them. I remember I was watching porn recently. I think it was like 4 days ago. Yeah, 4 days ago. And it's really well done. Very interesting. The end, he kept on pulling out because he fucked her in different positions. Most of it, none on her back. It was like mostly side and fucking her from the back. And so lots of doggy and side to side type thing. And he kept on pulling out to fuck her feet. My throat is so dry. Horrible way to suck dick, by the way, the dry throat. Is it weird if I want to like have a dick sucking, I don't want to say marathon, I just want to suck my partner's dick, like just having like, you relax, can we just do an hour of like edge play? That's another thing I'm supposed to talk about after this now. Let's just do another, like, it feels different. Let's just do an arm where I'm like sucking your dick and stopping. Is it weird if I have like water by my side and then I pause and I drink water? Because my throat gets really dry. Which is why I can never get those people that do that, those videos where they're like sucking dick and smoking weed. Man, it can't work for me. Not that I can't make it work, but that just feels like suffering. No. So, dear future partner, if you see me, you know, put water by the bed, I'm about to suck your dick, my nigga. Oh, edge play. This is considered more like dangerous stuff. This is blood play, knife play, breath play in extreme situations sometimes, and needle play. This is stuff that sort of like toes the line between scary risky and like fun risky. So edge play. Consensual, non-consent, that is fascinating to me. I saw a tweet when, I think it was months ago, I can't be too sure, where this babe was like, if you or your partner engage in consensual or non-consent, then you are a rapist or you have rapist tendencies. That as a woman, she can understand, okay, yeah, you want it done to you, but as a man doing it, then it means that you're a rapist. And I was like, that's such a plebeian way of viewing what you're not interested in. And then in some of the comments, she goes, oh yeah, she's done it before, she just doesn't think it works. I'm like, okay, it didn't work for you though. But I remember, like, was it 2021? Juliet Chara on Instagram was talking about a consensual, non-consent sexual fantasy she was bringing to life. And I remember just the amount of planning that went into making it happen. I remember watching her stories because she was like, he told her like they have a plan. She gave him the keys to her home to walk in, but he didn't tell her when he was gonna come or like where he was gonna show up from. That was part of like the heightened appeal for her. I remember that was the first time I just realized, I think it hit me, that a lot of it's planning, man. It's just the amount of planning that went into that experience and how she was very open about the whole thing with us in our Instagram stories. And the first night he didn't come, she was excited, she was nervous. And then I remember towards the end of it, he now cancelled or something came up, so like they couldn't follow through anymore. Well, he did follow through some other time, but not when we're following the story and the journey of her getting excited. She shared messages they had exchanged. She shared the, she told us she was doing work with a therapist, like, so she wouldn't feel triggered. Like, I just found it just so breathtaking about the amount of work that went into actually getting this shit done. So when I saw that tweet, I was just like, such a plebeian way of viewing things that you don't understand. But then you don't have my podcast, so I understand. Other podcasts go viral though, not mine. When you come here, you understand. I hope you do shed the cloak of judgment and just put on an open, accepting mind. Erotic humiliation. Oh, that's one I find fascinating. So, cuckolding. CBT, cock bone torture. I figured that out in like 2018 or so. That was 2019. I think. Yeah. Oh, there's this account. I used to have this video as my go-to cock bone torture, just watching video. Fun sexual on Instagram. She had this video where she was doing CBT, or like a 2 minute long video on Twitter. Before I even found out, I was fun sexual on Instagram. And I remember just being so absolutely fascinated that anytime I was with a man and he watched it, he'd just be like, oh my god, Alex, what sort of stuff are you into? And it's like, I find it just fascinating. So, cockball torture, impact play. Spanking, floggings with your hands, with a paddle, with a whip, belts, impact play. The act of hitting skin. That's just a very rudimentary way of saying it. I hope my voice is not super low. I'm flagging. I'm sorry, it's been a long day. Rope bondage. I want a shibari instructor. Like, I've been saying this for the longest time. I find shibari to be sexy as fuck. Shibari is this Japanese, I think it's Japanese, right? I don't want to say Japanese, let me not call countries. But shibari is like rope art. It's exquisite. Another person I saw doing this shibari master, this black guy, Lotus Rope Wolf. Oh, he does some cute shit though. So on Instagram, orgasm control, one of my absolute favorites. This is like edging and orgasm denial and forced orgasms, man. First time I had a forced orgasm. Post orgasms and stuff like that. So, orgasm control, one of my favorite things to do. I enjoy it. Do not come unless I ask you to come. Right. Anyway, there is so much more, but this is like an intro, rudimentary glimpse behind the curtain into kink. and kink is a whole fucking lot. So I do hope all of this just gives you a peek into kink and the types of kink available. Before I even, I think I've spent quite a while here. My bronze is almost finished. One thing I find funny, I find it funny that even in practicing kink, sometimes we tend to have this gendered expectation of what kink is supposed to look like. Men are not supposed to enjoy doing stuff like this. Women are not supposed to enjoy doing stuff like this. As a male sub, you have to do this. As a female dom, you have to do this. As a male dom, the expectations are like this. As a female sub, the expectations are like this. It's very interesting that when it comes to kink, where we should have an open mind and just, you know, let go of expectations, we still have gendered, like, expectations. Subs shouldn't look like this. Doms are supposed to respond in a certain way. I was reading a book, and the guy had a praise kink. It was an erotica. And the guy had a praise kink. And the book started off and, you know, it was fine. And then the first time they wanted to have sex, he was like, I want to do everything you want, but please, can I ask you to do something? And she goes, what? And he's like, can you tell me how good I make you feel? Can you tell me when I do anything good? Just let me know. And she was like, okay, all right, no problem. And then he starts to eat her out. And then he starts to eat her out initially, and he's looking up at her like, say something, please. But he's not saying anything because his mouth is full of her pussy. And she looks down at him, and then she realizes he's waiting, and he says, oh, you're so good at how you eat me out. And it got him harder. So she praised him throughout him eating her out, and he came. And I don't know why initially, when I realized that he had a praise kink, I was surprised. Which is just horrible on my part, I understand. I scolded myself because, I mean, he wasn't a sub. Throughout the rest of the book, he never displayed any derisive sub-like tendencies. He wasn't a sub. It wasn't a BDSM related book. It was just a really macho guy who was really into his female partner that had a praise kink. And I don't know why it didn't occur to me that sometimes, actually, yeah, I feel genuinely, honestly, most men might have a praise kink but might not even be aware that they have a praise kink because they're so overlooked during sex sometimes. Most times, if I'm being very honest. So I just don't know why I didn't think, oh yeah, you're such a good boy. I love the way you make me feel. I love how you feel inside of me. You fit just right. Just, yes, you're good at this. You know, when appreciating kink, open your mind. If you think it's open, expand it some more. You might not even be aware where your bias comes in and just stays until you have to intentionally now check it. So, expand your mind, especially when you want to explore and approach the world of kink. Just let it expand like a vag during childbirth. I watched a childbirth video recently and well done to all the mothers out there. I'm clenching my vag as I say this. I don't care what men are supposed to look like. doing sex. I don't care what they're supposed to like or supposed to enjoy. I did it doing kink or where they're supposed to enjoy it. I don't care. I don't care that women should find this or these particular actions repulsive, you know, not the standards of a good woman. I don't care. I don't care that they shouldn't get turned on by this. I don't care. What do you like? What do you find sexually fascinating? What really turns you on? You. So. Kink as a whole can be difficult to accept. I mean, you feel like what you're engaging in seems weird. If it were normal, others would be doing it, right? That must be going through your mind. Seeing how incredibly easy it is for society to shame someone for daring to do something different, most times, often than not, one is shamed, coerced, or bullied into changing their mind. It's sort of easy to attach negative opinions towards kink, even when we engage in it in one way or the other. I was out to dinner months back, and I met new people. One of them, a man, was just obsessed with his babe. He would brush hair from her neck. Like, they would be whispering in each other's ears and laughing, then giggling. It was just sweet. It was too sweet. Okay? Too sweet. It was sweet. That's, I sound jealous, but I sound like a bitter bitch. I wasn't bitter. It was just very sweet. How he was just really, really into his babe. Somehow, they got interested in this couple naked yoga thingy that was putting together back then, and the topic landed on sex, inevitably. And somehow they were very much, oh, BDSM is bad. He was totally against BDSM. He was like really actively against it. She said something along the lines of like, God forbid, or something like that. But both of them were staunchly against BDSM. I don't know why that truck has decided to pass up and down and up and down. It's just really, really pissing the fuck off. So both of them were staunchly against BDSM, and I was like, really? And I was like, yeah. So I decided to ask them like a few questions, and by the time I was done, I figured out that yes, he loves spanking her gorgeous ass, and the gorgeous ass she has, such a gorgeous ass, while she enjoys using ice cubes on his nipples, and he enjoys doing the same to her. So when I was done getting that information from them, I was like, so temperature play and impact play, right? And they were both surprised. And I was like, yeah, the term BDSM and kink seems daunting. Porn might have given off like, what the fuck was that? Porn might have given you like the wrong idea of what like BDSM or kink is supposed to like look like, or other people's opinion on BDSM and kink has colored what actively is BDSM and kink to you, and so you just put negative connotations, or you build up this grandiose opinions that you somehow convince yourself are fact. BDSM bad, spanking good. And sometimes it's just really easy to get caught up in like the labels and tell yourself you never want to be one of the people engaging in one of those labels, or what that label connotes. But truly, you have been engaging in it in more ways than one. You just haven't been aware because, you know, you haven't spoken to the sex positive goddess yet. Ha! Okay, This is a very jam-packed episode. I enjoyed putting this episode together. I really do enjoy when I enjoy having to research stuff for an episode. It just puts me in a much better headspace to be on the microphone and talking to you about said topic. I had fun. I genuinely hope you enjoyed what you were listening to, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode so far. I'm going to do like a part two, but I want to talk to someone who is more well-rounded in kink, and I will be working on that for a while. It might not come this season, but there will be a continuation to this episode, an expansion into the world of kink on this podcast, and I look forward to seeing how that will go. My birthday, as I stated earlier, was like a quote-unquote comedy on errors, so I'm converting my birthday wish list into my Christmas wish list. And to those who came through for me on my birthday, thank you so much. You are so sweet. I am so blessed and lucky to have you in my life. So yeah, come make this sex positive goddess incredibly happy for the holidays while I beg out loud now for my Christmas wish list. Okay, first on my wish list, a new podcast setup, mixers, microphone, headphones. Your girl needs it all. You know, let's make this whole process easier for moi to put together shit for you. Any new podcasting setup would be so fucking awesome to do that. New sex toys to review. I love reviewing sex toys. I did that briefly in 2021, and I've been able to do that since. I want to go back, and I'm excited. So if you know someone who knows someone who knows someone, hook up your job. Corporate sponsorship. Yeah. If you know anyone who's a niche business would go well to sponsoring an episode of this podcast or on the podcast, to my over 15,000 listeners. Oh my god, you guys, awesome stuff. So proud of like this baby. I'm so proud of how you listen. So let me know if you know anyone who's niche business or online with this niche podcast, or not niche business at all. Oh, a new phone and a new laptop. Mines are on their like last legs. If it goes, it goes, and I am enjoying coming back to this microphone and just recording and talking to you and editing stuff. Oh, I want new lingerie, as evidenced by the fact that the shitty, gorgeous cherry red thong panties snapped in half, okay? Give the bitch gorgeous new lingerie. I deserve it. I deserve to encase my body in sexy stuff. I didn't even take like test straps or nudes before. Lip glosses, lipstick, and lip balms. I love me a well moisturized, very yummy lips. So keep them gifts coming. Ooh, yoga mats, new yoga mats. I want more pattern shit. Yoga blocks and yoga straps. I dedicated 1 year. This time last year, I was like, I want to do 1 year of just yoga, and I'm almost there. Although I did start the year with like running, and then towards election period I stopped. So I think I have to stay until like February to be like, yeah, 1 year of yoga. But it's just been so rewarding, and I'm so thankful. And because of that, I've worn out like 3 mats this year so far. So I'm growing in my classes, so I need blocks and straps and stuff like that. So if you could give me that, be so lovely. Thank you. Oh, Nicki Minaj is releasing an album December 8th. If you love me and you want to gift me new Nicki Minaj Pink Friday 2 merch, I would love it and I appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, I'm so exhausted. That was a stretch, man. So yeah, my birthday wish list. Now a Christmas wish list. If you want to get me anything on that list, please don't hesitate to hit me up at Send me an email at sexandsativawithalex@gmail.com. Sexandsativawithalex@gmail.com. That's my email address. I will get back to you when I can. So, yeah. Spotify Wrapped should be up soon. I look forward to sharing that with you. I'm this close to getting my Twitter account back so that I can go back and share stuff with you on there. Obviously, you didn't miss me on social media because you just be running the numbers up, and I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for that, and I do not take it for granted. So, yeah, this was fun. If you want me to talk about a topic on the podcast, you want to talk to me, you want me to address something, just send me an email at sexandsativawithalex@gmail.com. I will get back to you when I can. And to those who have already responded to me with an email, I do hope you enjoy your responses. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. Yeah, this was a great way to end November 2023. Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. I love you so much. If you are still here, then thank you. Until I come your way again for your listening pleasure, bye for now.